Jai Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janna Balabha, Jaya Giri Vadhari. Gopi Janna Balabha, Jaya Giri Vadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana,
Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana
Jamuna Tira Vanachari,
Jamuna Tira
Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Tato jayam budhiraye.
This is a product placement. There's a new book from the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, from the great stalwart of book distribution in ISKCON, named Vijay Prabhu. It's called Treasures of the Brihat Madanga. And first of all, Vijay Prabhu is a veteran of ISKCON for over four decades, and is a highly regulated, soft-hearted devotee who goes out every day for book distribution. And he's collected these anecdotes from the field over many years, which go into the very core of book distribution, that is the exchange between the devotee and those who are about to become devotees. And this book just came out. Painstakingly, he compiled it, had it edited over a couple of years, and I highly recommend this book. You'll never get tired reading it, even if you read it 20, 50 times. It's amazing every time you open the pages. He's got a booth up here at the ILS, so I recommend that everybody take a few cases and give them out as gifts when you go home. Okay? Say yes.
Yes!
Only 50% said yes. Say yes.
Yes!
Thank you. Today we're continuing our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto. And that would be at second canto, fifth chapter, the cause of all causes. And today's
sect is number 9. Ramuvacha Samyak Karunikasyedam Vatyate Vichikitsitam Yad Aham Chodita Saumya Bhagavad Virya Darshane. Please chant. Ramuvacha
Samyak Karunikasyedam
Samyak Karunikasyedam
Vatsate
Vichikitsitam
Yadaham Chodita Samyak
Yadaham Chodita Samyak
Bhagavad Virya Darshane.
Bhagavad Virya Darshane. Vaishnavis Ramuvacha Samyak Karunikasyedam Vatsate Vichikitsitam Yadaham Chodita Saumya Bhagavad Virya Darshane. Ramuvacha. Lord Brahma said Samyak, perfectly, Karunikasya, of you who are very kind. Idam, this. Vatsa, my dear boy. Te, your. Vichikitsitam, inquisitiveness. Yet, by which. Aham, myself. Chodita, inspired. Saumya, O gentle one. Bhagavat, of the personality of Godhead. Virya, prowess. Darshane, in the matter of. Translation. Lord Brahma said, my dear boy Narada, being merciful to all, including me, you have asked all these questions because I have been inspired to see into the prowess of the almighty personality of Godhead. Purport. Brahmaji, being so questioned by Naradaji, congratulated him, for it is usual for the devotees to become very enthusiastic whenever they are questioned concerning the almighty personality of Godhead. That is a sign of a pure devotee of the Lord. Such discourses on the transcendental activities of the Lord purify the atmosphere in which such discussions are held, and the devotees thus become enlivened while answering such questions. It is purifying both for the questioners and for one who answers the questions. The pure devotees are not only satisfied by knowing everything about the Lord, but are also eager to broadcast the information to others, for they want to see that the glories of the Lord are known to everyone. Thus, the devotee feels satisfied when such an opportunity is offered him. This is the basic principle of missionary activities. I offer my respectful obeisances thousands of times to the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, by whose campaign of disseminating this knowledge, because of his spontaneous mood of going all over the world on a cargo ship, first to America and then traveling by plane, train, car, microbus, whatever means was provided to make sure that everyone got the information. I was a lucky recipient sitting in my suburban home in California, and he's the one who thought it up and did it and engaged many others in doing the same thing. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. I also offer my respectful obeisances to the previous acharyas who painstakingly codified the Vedic literature's Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipandoshad Dharma Samstapako to establish a platform upon which anyone, even in the Kali Yuga, could practice the most sublime process of devotional service by which one could come into a loving mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those sages at Naimasharanya, as well as the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, all the great acharyas have been preoccupied with this mood of distribution to make sure that everyone in the world gets an opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord and to also take up a practice in order to reestablish their relationship with Him. And I offer my respectful obeisances to all of you who have joined all these sages and are giving your lives for distributing this knowledge after personally tasting it yourselves. Thank you very much. Vancha kalpaturubhascha kripa sandabhi evacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. This verse gives us an inkling into the behavior of the great souls. Sorry, Davina. It gives us a view into the behavior of great souls. Brahma is just waiting to hear a question, and even if it's from his subordinate, because it's about Krishna, his deep inquirer, "Are you the Supreme?" opens the conversation to telling about Krishna. The question, or the question mark, is the most powerful punctuation mark in any language. And I'll stand by that. Anyone can challenge me. If you write a long letter to someone, they're not obligated to write you back. But if you put one tiny punctuation mark, a question mark, anywhere in the 20-page letter, they have to. A question mark is like a hook. It can pull things closer to us. The word question itself comes from the word quest. And if you take a closer look at the word and its history, it's described as a search for the Holy Grail by a knight. And we have the word acquire, which is the combination of two words, query, which means to ask and add. And when you get acquire, it becomes acquire due to Sunday rules. And then you get the means by which you get something, which is to ask a question. May I have that, please? Therefore, we're advised at the very beginning of the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jignasa, ask the most important questions now that you have the opportunity. Don't ask trivial questions, or you'll get... You have to work with me a little bit today. Correct. 10 points for everyone who answered. There are several ways in which the Srimad Bhagavatam guides us to ask questions. First of all, Atato Brahma Jignasa means ask what is your ultimate purpose and let that be your guiding principle. As how else will you make decisions in life? Most often people lose their bearings. I read a book a while back by the recommendation of a friend called How to Win an Argument by a professor at New York University who said that the problem with arguing is most people forget why they're arguing. The argument continues, but they've gone away from the point, and they lose the thread, and they're arguing just for the sake of arguing, but not for coming to a conclusion. Therefore, he says, stop and ask, why are we discussing this? What are we trying to come to? And similarly, in any activity in life, we may also do the same. I may ask myself at any point, why am I doing this? And this is a repositioning question. Similarly, we're advised many places to ask, according to our constitutional nature, a question that positions us in such a way that we'll be happy. Would you like to hear that question? Okay, only about 14 people said yes, so the rest of you, cover your ears just for a moment. That question is, How may I be of service? Please ask that question. Say it again, please. How may I be of service? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jeev Krishna Das A Bishwas, Korlita Or Dukho Nai. If you have faith in this question, and you say, I'm a servant, therefore how may I be of service? Please engage me. Then he says there'll be no more misery for you because you'll be properly aligned in your life. And we may note that wherever we go, there are more people wondering how I may be served better than there are people saying, how may I be of service? Agree or disagree? And if I ever find myself in a situation where I feel uncomfortable, I may just review what my question is going through my head. If I'm uncomfortable, my question invariably is, why aren't I getting better service here? However, if I just change the question and say, how may I be of service? Then suddenly I become an insider. Someone says, hey, how did you get on the inside? You're doing service here? Servants are the insiders. And we're meant to be insiders, and the way to make our way into the spiritual world is through service. And one may feel happy throughout one's life by asking that question in all circumstances. Now the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us more. From the verse Tatenukampam Susamikshamano Bunjana Evatmakritam Vipakam Ritvagvapur Vividandamaste Jiveta Yomukti Padesa Dayabhak, we can derive the question, what's the lesson? Everyone please say, what's the lesson? Say it one more time. Because the default question that comes into my mind when something happens to me, like some reversal of fortune, and I'll say, why me? Why not those other people? But if I resist that and I ask the question against the mighty force of my ego saying, why am I being offended? And instead ask the question, what's the lesson? Then the answer will be forthcoming. This is for those who see that this whole world is a classroom. And it's meant for my refinement, to come into perfect harmony with my nature as a servant of Krishna. And finally, I might also ask from moment to moment, what is the most important investment of my attention right now? Because we have freedom to move our awareness, our attention, from one place to the next. Close your eyes, please. Sit up straighter. Close your eyes. Now see yourself in front of Panchatattva on the other side of the temple room. And now move your attention in front of Sri Sri Prahlad Narsingha. And now go to Vrindavan to Prabhupada Samadhi. And now come back here and open your eyes. Welcome back. In the Gita, Krishna says, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto. Just fix your mind on me. Just think of me. Ananyaschintayantamam yejana paripasate tesham nityabdiyuktanam yogakshemam bahamyaham. He says, if this is all you do, that's your exclusive occupation, I just think of Krishna, somehow or other, yena tena prakayana mana Krishna deveshaya, and I help other people just think of Krishna, then everything will be all right. Because Krishna says, I'll carry what you lack and I'll preserve what you have. I'll completely take care of you if you don't have the opportunity to look after many other aspects of your life because you're so absorbed in this. So we have these questions and we find the culture of questions, especially in, well, not especially, everywhere, including the Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the poignant moments in the Bhagavatam, of course, after Parikshit Maharaj finds out that he's cursed to die in 7 days, and he's begun questioning Shukadeva Goswami. And then he notes, Vasudeva Kata Prashna Purusham Strin Punatihi Vaktaram Prachakam Shrotims Tatpara Salilamyata. He says, this is so nice. that I'm here asking questions and you're speaking. And he said three types of people get purified by this process. First of all, the questioner, or actually I should say in the order that the acharyas have given us. First of all, the speaker. Therefore, we hear Brahma today welcoming, oh, a question, now I can speak about it. The person who gets the highest amount of benefit is the speaker, next is the questioner, and who is the third party that gets benefit? There's three. Everybody else in between. Somebody can be walking by and say, what was that? Krishna? Somebody? Everyone gets touched. Who gets touched by the vibration or touched by the vibration after it's touched somebody else becomes benefited. And in the acharyas say it's also like taking charnamrita. The person who drinks it, the person who puts it on his head, or the person who does both. Tats salilamyata means taking the charnamrita from shaligram. So it's a kind of amrita. And Parikshit Maharaj also says, Naitatsidushahanshunmam taktodam api paddate pibantam tanmakamboja chutam harikatamritam. That normally I'd be thirsty because I'm not eating or drinking, nor am I sleeping, but I'm not tired either. And he remembered back to the time when he did become thirsty, when he was in the forest, and just because of that urge, he's now in this position that he was cursed to die. He said, but now I'm not at all thirsty even though I'm not drinking. He said, why is that? Chutam harikatamritam. Because there's nectar falling from your mouth and I'm drinking that. So this is the culture of hearing and chanting that we are the recipients of, that has been passed down to us. And the mood is important, the attitude of those who would engage in this. They, that is, who are gathering the knowledge, Prabhupada mentions here, they're ready to speak it to others, or they're thinking, how can I present this to others so that they can also understand it? In many different cultures, there's ways to present it that people can understand it in an easier way. And this is a realization of the person who's speaking it. So when devotees take up the process of hearing and chanting, they're relishing, but they're also thinking, as Prabhupada says here, how can I pass this on to other people? And amazingly, when we move out into the world outside, the association of like-minded devotees, we'll meet many different kinds of people according to their situation and the modes of nature. And there's a way in which we can interject the philosophy of Krishna consciousness into their lives. Based on the context of today's verse and what I've been talking about, what would be one effective way of doing that? For 50 points. No, I mean, yes, but I'm asking specifically, how would one interject one's, as somebody walking down the street, how would you suddenly intervene in their lives? You could ask a question, right? Thank you, from an attorney over here. She knows. If you're a forensic accountant, you know how to intervene in someone's life. You just walk up and say, where's all the money? And they say, I'll take a look and see. I'm not sure. That question goes deep. And similarly, when we meet people here, there, and everywhere, and we ask them various questions. There's one book distributor who asks people, do you like to be happy? Yes. Do you like to be happy all the time? Yes. Is happiness material or spiritual? You can answer now. I'll ask the questions and you answer. Do you like to be happy?
Yes.
Do you like to be happy all the time?
Yes.
Is happiness material or spiritual?
Spiritual.
Correct. And sometimes we ask people, when we meet them, we say, you look spiritual, which is true because they are spiritual. They just forgot. And when we say that, they oftentimes stop and look at themselves and think, oh,
Yeah, I forgot. I'm a spiritual soul. I should be in the spiritual world. What am I doing here? And we ask them the question, what is your secret? And then they start thinking back to many lifetimes before. And they'll give some answer according to their situation and the modes of material nature at that time. Nonetheless, it's the way in which we intervene in the life of somebody else. We find ourselves suddenly finding what's in their heart, what they're thinking at that time, and so forth. And like doctors, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we're then able to administer some kind of medicine. So the medicine we have is readily available to us, and it's taken through the ears. Satam prasangam amavirya sambido bhavanti hritkara rasayana katha means there are many different kinds of medicines. Some of them you take by an injection, other times you take it orally, and this one you take through the ears and it goes into the heart and it transforms the heart. And transformation is vitally important. This flow of Krishna consciousness and the mood of the devotees who are open to hearing and passing it on to others is the flow of Krishna consciousness that comes from the spiritual world. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, how is everyone so far? Shauri, you okay? All right. I'll just say a few more words and then I'll take some reflections and questions to expand the conversation. What was I just saying? Yes, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev describes how there's devotional service in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, and in the mode of goodness. And then he says there's devotional service that's transcendental. And he describes it to be like the flowing of the Ganga. Mad guna shruti matrena mai sarvagahashe mano gatir avichina yata gangam buso muda. That means the flowing of the Ganga can't be stopped. It keeps going. And what keeps going? Mad guna shruti matrena. As soon as somebody hears, who's pure in heart, the message of Krishna, then their mind runs after it. That's the sign that someone's reached the level of devotional service that's beyond the modes of nature. And then he says, Lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hyudharitam ahaituki avyavahita ya bhakti purushottame. He gives the qualities of bhakti as being ahaituki. That means I'm not doing it for a return. I don't want something in return for this. Service for service. And avyavahita means there's no breakage. I don't stop because I'm in the flow of this bhakti. And this is the platform from which one experiences happiness in hearing about Krishna. And then that flow that one's in is easily distributable to other people. We find that when devotees themselves are experiencing the happiness of hearing and their minds attracted to it, they become effulgent. And when they meet other people, others want to know, oh, what do you have? What did you get? And where are you getting it from? So when we have that quality in any community, and in the greater community of Krishna consciousness, our main goal is to be fully absorbed in Krishna, especially by hearing. It's transformational, as we know from the first canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is important because there's always a tendency, while we're in the material world and a material body, to fade from whatever discipline or practice we're in, or to become calcified in a particular position and forget advancement. We can come to a plateau. There is a sociologist named Michel, and he coined Michel's iron laws of oligarchy. He said on an individual basis, people generally and good-heartedly start off by being a volunteer in something and doing it just to help out, and then later it's possible that they become forgetful of the good cause and more concerned with maintaining whatever position they have. And he says at this point, then they become more specialized, professional, and there's no way to pass it on at that point because they become isolated from others. And therefore, he and others recommended that always be transitional. Be improving yourself and trying to pass on to others what you're doing so that they can do it also and be effective as well. And that's, I thought, a good description of one of the ways that we can be effective as a community all over the world is to always be thinking about the mood of selfless service and passing it on to as many people as others. Do you have enough air? Or is it stuffy? Is there a way to get more air? Who would like more air? Vote. This is a democracy. 1, 2, 3, okay, only got 3 votes so far. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, we need more air. Can we open another door or another window in the back, something? Put the fan on, try. I know, I think the air will help a lot. Okay, now let's take a few questions. Remember, the quality of your questions determines the quality of your life and also the quality of the answer, hopefully. Yes, Navina Prabhu. And we'll give you a microphone. Madhav will give you a microphone. I'll repeat what you say while he's looking for the microphone. Please go ahead. Sometimes one becomes aware that it's time to let go. But there's a fear that if I let go, then what am I left with? So empowerment or succession becomes a figment of the imagination because of the fear that I'll lose out on position or on service, on potential. It's too crushing. What can I do to overcome that fear? Well, it's helpful to have a better gig somewhere else, especially hearing and chanting. So if one, throughout one's year, makes sure that one has time to do some intensive hearing and chanting at a particular point or at regular intervals, and then starts to think, hey, I'd rather do this than anything else, there's a place for such a person. If you see a set of Bhagavatams and a little mat sitting in the corner and you think, I could be happy over there, that's a good sign. And so we have replacement therapy here in our process. It's not that we haphazardly jerk ourselves from one place to another. In fact, Brahma recommended this, Jnani Prayasam Udapasya Namante Eva Jivanti San Mukaditam Pavadiyavartam Stane Stita Shutikatam Tanuvanmanobir Ye Prayaso Jita Jito Pyasitaistri Lokyam. He said, whatever position you're in now, start your replacement therapy by increasing your hearing and chanting. And by that, we know that it's the hearing itself is a solvent. Have you ever spilled something on a brand new piece of cloth? I'm raising my hand. Okay. Brand new. It's the first time I ever had it on. Pen in my pocket. Ink spilled out. As it turns out, the technology of ink nowadays is so advanced, it doesn't come out. Doesn't matter what you put on it. Although there may be somebody somewhere that can figure that out. So when we get a stain somewhere, we need a solvent. And we think about solution. What's the solution? Well, the holy name and the vibration of the Bhagavatam is that solvent. It's a solution. And as the paragraph mentions, Shushu Sho Shadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Seveya Bipra Punya Tirtanishavana Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna
punya shravana kirtana hridyan taksto hibadrani vidhunoti suritsatam nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyutama shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtiki tada rajas tamo bhava kamala badayasche chaiteter anavidam stitam satve prasidati evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate vidite hridaya grantish chijante sarva samshaya shiyante chasya karmani drishte vatmanishvare. Prabhupada put that in his prayers on the Jaladutta, saying, this is how I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to get people out of this sticky mess. Don't get mango sap in your hair. It doesn't come out unless you have the right solvent. And the material world gets on you. In fact, that's why we do sadhana every day. You're not the same person in the morning as you were at night. The sticky goo of the material world, it's on us all the time. We have to keep hearing and chanting. And if we increase hearing and chanting, what is the harm? Can anybody think of any harm in that? Can anybody stop us from increasing our hearing and chanting? Look around and see if there's anybody that could stop us. No? Then we can do it. As it mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, that if you want to take a bath at the confluence of the Ganges, Jamuna, and Saraswati, in the freezing cold month of Magh, during Magh Mela, you can go ahead and do it, right? I like that verse. He's just like, it's there, I'm here, I'm jumping in. That's all there is to it. Nobody can stop me. And in the same way, if we find ourselves in a jam, if we find ourselves stuck here in the material world, there's a solution. Actually, it's a solution that you, when you put it on the heart, you pour it in the ear, it dissolves the stickiness of the material world and it takes us out of the mode of, well, all the modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And we come to the perfect stage of clarity. Satvam bishuddham vasudeva shabditam yadiyate tatra puman apavrita. We become uncovered. And when we're uncovered, there's no problem. So there's only one solution. And Prabhupada used to say it. I saw a letter that Prabhupada wrote to Jayananda Prabhu. I didn't see the letter he wrote. Maybe Dave Amrita Swami has it. But he said, it's the same old answer. Chant Hare Krishna. It's like, I never thought of that. It's the last thing I thought of. In communities, individually, anywhere else, if you increase the transcendental sound vibration, then you're embracing the solution. And that solution is so perfect and joyful. And this is something that Parikshit Maharaj is saying, I really don't think about eating right now or drinking anything else. What to speak of maintaining a little chip in some game somewhere that somebody else could be doing better if that's the case. And then I'll feel more inclined. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga. What a long answer. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyojita Shaniyat Yashu Vairangyam Gyanam Chayat Haitukam. There are concomitant benefits you get from hearing and chanting. You become naturally detached. And you also get knowledge. And that's not bad. Okay, another question to expand the conversation in a really beautiful, enlightening way. And it better be good. No pressure. Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Got the, one second, we'll go. Yeah, sorry, there's so many Maharajas in here, it's hard.
Should I proceed?
You'll go ahead and then we'll pass the mic.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu. You're speaking about the transitional aspect of working on developing yourself and passing on to others. So can you give some example of some success stories in that regard? And what could be some mechanisms practically implementing on different levels in ISKCON?
Well, one success story is Raghunath Das Goswami. He came to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu put him under the care of Swarup Damodar and said, you're the Raghunath of Swarup. You just work under him. And under Damodar's care, he flourished and was able to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Meanwhile, here in ISKCON, I've seen those who started in a book room. For instance, a very famous devotee from the early days of ISKCON, Rameshwara Prabhu, who came to serve in New Dwarka, and he started in the book room. Just was so enthusiastic and expert at organizing the books, one day someone said, well, can you do anything else? I know I'm making stuff up about you, but... And I said, yeah, sure. And gradually, because of his enthusiasm, he transitioned to run the BBT, step by step. So it's a matter of empowerment and looking out to see where people are enthusiastic. Prabhupada especially appreciated enthusiasm because he saw the potential in everyone, and the way he expressed it in Vrindavan 1975, a group of us went to speak to Prabhupada about book distribution, and he said to those who were charged with going around and teaching others how to do book distribution, he said, teach them to be sincere. And he said, if they try, and then he went like this with his hand, he said, then the master within the heart will show them how to do it. And when the artists started painting for the Krishna book, 54 plates he wanted, and some of them were not very experienced, and they were sitting in substandard conditions to paint in a musty basement in Boston to start with. And some of them said to Prabhupada, but we're not even that good of artists, what to speak of painting God? And Prabhupada said, you stay in front of the canvas and pray. And look what happened. The beautiful artwork emerged. So there's a way in which, if we're encouraging to people and we see that they have some enthusiasm and perhaps some talent to start with, and we encourage people to take up roles by maybe emulating others and getting started, then Krishna will inform them and they'll be happy and we'll be happy too. You never lose your position by handing it over to others. You just take another position where you can empower others. Okay, a couple more. Yes? We're talking about how we can connect with people by asking questions. Sometimes we see that people are actually afraid of hearing from others who believe in something else. Can you turn the mic on? Yellow button, tech support on aisle one.
Hi, Krishna. Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you. When you turn it on, the light goes off. Sorry. So sometimes we find that devotees only want to hear from people that they already agree with, right? So how do we know, like, when it's okay to listen to differing opinions? Why should we listen to differing opinions? And how can we connect with others that don't necessarily see things the same way we do?
Yeah, it's really true, isn't it? I agree with your point. I've been in a few of the, what are they called? ISKCON Resolve, what do they do? Mediations. I've been involved, I got invited to a couple, and I called for one myself once. And of course they answer the phone, down there at the office, they say, what are they called? ISKCON Resolve, get over it. But after that, they're willing to help. And I noticed that the closer it comes to mediation time, both sides start getting squeamish. And I don't think we should do this, because there's always a sense that I'm going to give up my position by speaking with somebody else. But I've never seen that to be the case once we actually get in there. In fact, one very polarized situation where we were sitting, there were 3-3 in the mediation and two mediators to hold everybody back. And there were a couple heated moments, which I found very interesting and exciting. But when it all happened was at prasadam time. And everyone, kind of like a battlefield of Kurukshetra, everyone put down everything and went back home and said, hey, how you doing, Bhima? You want me to just give you the kingdom? Or, you know. And everyone sat there having prasadam together, and there was a sense of, hey, you know, we're all in this together. So who knows how living entities are going to move. There are little samples of Krishna, and Krishna's fully independent. We have little independence, so you can't predict. That's what makes life exciting, right? Yeah. That's what makes ISKCON fun. So Prabhupada once said, it's not difference, it's variety. So a willingness to just hang in there. My dad was a psychotherapist, and he was a very patient person. He had to be for me to be a son. And I remember him just talking about, if you just spend time with people and just talk to them and listen, eventually something will come through. And I've seen that with experts. Somebody I know back in America, expert person, Kaladri Prabhu. I've learned so much from him. Just, you know, beginning when I stuck my little toe into management somehow or other, after artfully avoiding it for nearly three and a half decades, I was thinking, how are we going to get out of this one? And I just watched him. He just show up and calmly move through it, be methodical but dispassionate, bring his lunchbox, and okay, this is the work we have to do. And gradually, amazingly complex situations, there was some daylight and it came through. I see many others who do that too as their main service. So we just have to be open to sit and hear, knowing that something good will happen. Okay, we've actually run out of time. I'm really sorry. Yes, Prabhu, go ahead. And Maharaj, I skipped over you, if you can get the mic. If you can make a concise question or point, go ahead. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 6, Krishna says there's two types of created beings, demons and then the devas. Oh, chapter 16. We're in the Deva side. And we're in the minority. Plus the demons. Control the system we're in. How do we preach to the demons? Well, I'll go to the Bhagavatam first. Well, first I'll go to my book, How to Win an Argument. The author said, how to deal with fanatics. And on the next page there was one word, don't. And in the Bhagavatam, Ishvare Taradineshu Balisheshu Dusatsucha, Prema Maitri Kripopeksha Yokaroti Samadhyamaha, which means that you should be selective. Preachers are not meant to go head to head with every single person they meet, but they're meant to be like fruit pickers. You go and look for the ripest fruits first, the rest of them you leave on the vine, Samsaradava Naradida Loka, the world's cooking them, basically. And it's like, are you ripe yet? Not yet. Okay, you stay there, I'll pick the other ones. So that's our job. Prithu Prabhu, for the close, please make it concise because I have to end right now. Okay, just say it and we'll repeat. Mike's coming.
Yeah, and this boy here brought up this point. Are there any examples of somebody who got deeper into chanting and got some experience? You gave the example of Raghunath Goswami. There's actually a really amazing example of what happened some times ago. There's one devotee, Chandramouli Maharaj. He is reading very regularly and loud Prabhupada's books. So one day he was reading and he felt that the atmosphere changed. And so he stopped reading and looked up. And then Prabhupada came in and he read for him for a couple of minutes. He said it was absolutely mystic. His voice came in. It was just listening to a tape recorder. And Prabhupada spoke for a couple of minutes. And then the voice faded away. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. And for the close, first of all, it's been a short ride here, but I'm deeply grateful. We're decamping soon. My wife and I have been here in the Dom, either in Puri or here, since December 20th. And it's bittersweet leaving. But thank all of you for your association and all that you're doing around the world for maintaining such a high level of consciousness. The world needs us. Thank you. And also, I would like you to know that one of the ways in which Prabhupada wanted to improve the world was through the presentation of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just during Kartik, we read together, a group of us, 5 hours a day, the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we finished it within about 20 days. And I felt transformed by that, and I saw everyone else who heard from it realize that this book can be read by anybody. It has so much commonsensical instruction and very deep personal philosophy that it transforms the heart. So right now, all over the world, devotees are engaged in distributing the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita as the time's ticking away towards Gaur Purnima. So we have a goal around the world for everyone to inventory how many Chaitanya Charitamritas they have in their homes or in their temples. Has anybody done that recently? So that's the goal. Would you do that? Say yes, everybody say yes.
Yes.
Take an inventory? Okay. And the other thing is, I would like to know if there's anybody in here that doesn't right now have a Chaitanya Charitamrita. Don't be afraid, just raise your hand if you don't. Okay, what is your name? Sarah, I would like to gift you a Chaitanya Charitamrita for wherever you live. I'll have it sent to you. Where do you live, by the way? In England. We'll have a set sent to your house. Divyanam Prabhu will help arrange and I'll pay for it. And we'd like you to have a set of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also, we only have a few seconds left, but I've brought the Chaitanya Charitamrita here. It's available here in India and in many other countries around the world. It's there waiting for us to enter into and also distribute to the world to preserve this literature and uplift everyone through the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if there's anybody else here who would like to gift one to somebody else, you can let me know, like right now. How much is this? Okay, 3,800 rupees means how much in dollars? Like $30? Kitna paisa? $47 only? That's outrageous. That's ridiculous. It's too cheap. Okay, we're going to raise the price in about 3 minutes, but for now, it's $3,800. Who else would be interested in gifting one to somebody else who doesn't have one? We'll make all the arrangements. Yes? Bhadra Narayan Maharaj. Hari Bol. Especially at the price. And there's 2 minutes and 30 seconds left before we have to go. Who else? Two from Tara. Somebody help me out. One from Kostuba. We're writing them all down here. We have tables standing by. Where? Near Srila Prabhupada. Okay, Vijay Prabhu. Who is that next to him? I can't see back there. Devika Kumar Prabhu Ki Jai. He'll take one. Oh, I'm sorry. Devika Kumar is writing them all down. I'll have to pay for one for him too because I said it in front of the deities. Okay. Yes, Mishra Bhagavan Prabhu. I hope I remember everybody's name and don't get embarrassed here. Mishra Bhagavan. Is that 5 sets? This is like at an auction, you know. You got to be careful how you put your hand up. How many you want? One set. Hari Bol Mishra Bhagavan, the great stalwart. Hari Bol. Yell out the names, Navina, when we get. Yes, the great Shyamaka Rishi Prabhu will take. One, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We've got to hurry. I'm going to get kicked out of here any second now. Purnamasi and Krishadas. Okay, write them down. Who's in the back? Yell out the names, please. Ras Vigraha. What a nice name. Who else? Gormani and Balabhadra Ki Jai. They'll take one. Come on, you got to be fast now to take advantage of this. It's only 3,800 rupees. Of what name? Jivan Mukta Prabhu, right back here. Patita Pavana Prabhu. Nitai Gaur. Patita Pavana Nitai Gaur. Hari Bol. Maharaj. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Swami. We'll take one. Okay? Somebody help me out over here. Yes. Patri Prabhu. The inimitable Patri Prabhu. We'll take a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas. Prabhu? Sarvalakshana Prabhu. One set of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ashram Maharaj, one set of Chaitanya Charitamritas. He's writing fast with his thumbs here. There's like 60 seconds maximum when we're done. Okay, Divyanand Prabhu. He's going to sponsor one. Anyone else? Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6. Yes? Paksho. Paksho will take one. Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5. Yes? One. And your name? Subhangi Krishna Ki. Sudangi. Sudangi Krishna Devi Ki Jai. She'll take one. Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7. Yes? I can't see who's back there. Somebody tell me who it is because I can't see in the glare. Who? Dr. Dan, one set of Chaitanya Charitamritas, Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5. Yes, Prabhu, your name? Vinesh. Vinesh. Vinesh Prabhu, one set of Chaitanya Charitamritas, Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1. Oh, that was close. Yes. Yes? Radharani's taking one. Haribo! Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8. Haribo, Prabhu. Ananta? Lila? Mani Nitai. Kijai. He'll take one. Okay, Radhi Shamananda. One set of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Quick, everybody. I'm going to get kicked out of here. Okay, this is it. Ah! Kalikanta Prabhu, one set. And there's a very effulgent brahmachari in the back. I can't see who it is. Karunapati Prabhu is here. He'll take one set of Chaitanya Charitamritas. Okay, this is really the last time. Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7. Yes. Vasu Gopal Prabhu. Madhu Gopal. Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3. Name? Gaur Mohan, one set. Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1, Krishna 0.5. Yes. Prabhu? Who is that? Huh? We can't hear. Shubham, Haribo. Yes, Shubham, Prabhu. Okay. Say it loud. Vidit. Vidit. Haribo, Vidit, Prabhu, Kishit, Kijai. We're stuck at 0.5. 0.120125. Thank you very much, everyone. Hare Krishna. Yeah, you can go to the table over here, and they'll take your pledges. And also, I have a gift for everybody, right? I have a gift for everybody here. So, and prasadam. Gift and prasadam. If you could move that in the harmonium. Boo! Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai!
Prabhupada.